Why you?
Okay, so basically, so then Dorash of a lev. The basic principle, the Gemara says that something in the lev is a Dorash of a lev in dvar. So if it's just in your head, it doesn't count. Like in the case of the woman or a guy going to Israel, he was doing it for the purpose of, you know, he sold selling his house for the purpose of going to Israel. So since he didn't say it, it's just Dorash of a lev. So even if we could prove that that was why he was selling it, for instance, what he did beforehand and then afterwards is indicative of that, still, since at the time of the sale he didn't say it, so they say that's just the lev, and therefore it doesn't count. Yet the Ron brought in other cases where he said he do go by the lev, where it's clear. So his answer was that it depends. When it's clear cut, 100%, like that's what, or basically that's what it means. Like no one in the right mind is going to give away all their property to someone else if their son's alive, or a similar logic in all those cases, it's an umdana. So then it's basically like he said it. It's as good as if he said it. So the basic idea we said was that the havmin would be dvar shelevin dvar means that the only thing that's recognized halachically is what's explicit, that which is explicit, like what you say. So if that's the case, then even in the right case of the Ron, since you don't say it explicitly, so therefore it doesn't count, because we only go by what you say explicitly. So who cares? It makes a difference if it's how clear, not so clear. You say, you don't say, you don't say. But Kamash Shmuel is saying that that's not the idea of Dvar Shelevi and Dvar. The idea is no, that it has to be. We do recognize what's in your lave as long as it's objectified, which means that when you speak, so you're expressing your thoughts. But you could your thoughts have to be expressed clearly. They could either be expressed explicitly or implicitly, which means is that it's obvious to anyone that this action, anyone who gives away all their stuff, is based upon the supposition that your son isn't alive. So it's objectively manifest in the action which you did. So that's not a problem of belief. The problem with Dvarim Shebelev is where they're like thought, like just they have a certain character of just your subjective thoughts. So we can't go by what's in your particular mind. But again, if it's an objective thing that anyone would be thinking that, then it's clear in what you did that is what you did when you sell, you give away all your stuff, it's under that assumption. So it's in your lathe, that doesn't have the conceptually, doesn't have the character of the Ronshul lathe. That's clear and manner, clear and obvious that's what you meant. So that's fine. The fact that it happens to be in your lathe doesn't matter. The problem with the Ronshul lathe is where it's like a subjective type of a character. It's just whatever it happens to be in your head. So the question, that was basically what we said, right? So the question we left off with is that what about in the case of, in our case, where you go into Eretz Yisrael? So in the case of going to Eretz Yisrael, so also you say is that it's talking about where a guy, we know clearly that he said originally that he was going to Eretz Yisrael, and after he sold it, he also still was pursuing his lead to go to Eretz Yisrael. So it's also clear objectively from what he did before and after that he was doing it with that intent. So that's not just fleeting whatever happens to be in his head. It's clear and proven from his activities prior and after. So if that's the case, so why don't you say also that should be recognized? So we said the Ron is saying that's not recognized because it has to be b'shas vine, at the time of the purchase itself. And when we say that you go by what's in your head objectively, that's that which is manifest in the purchase itself, but not that which is from before and from after. But the question is, why should it be that way? Because either way, we could clearly deduce that what was in his lave. Either way, that we know that was in his lave, and it's not just we're just guessing or whatever. It's clear. It's manifest from the before and the after. Why does that have to be manifest at the time of the thing itself? Why is that relevant? that was one question. Additionally, the question is, what's the whole svara of Dvar Shelevi and Dvar? Or not? They are or not Dvar? What's the two sides?
I don't know. I forgot that step.
I mean, that's a question. If we know, we know. If we know what's in his lathe, then we know. It's clear. It's manifest from objective things. And if we don't know, then we don't know. But what's the difference if we know, based upon something which took place at the moment of the sale, like when he gives away all your nechasim, only at that moment, no one does that action unless you don't have a son. So that's clear in the moment of the sale. Versus where you sell your property to somebody when you're moving to Eretz Yisrael, that that action, some parts of people would do whether they're moving or whether they're not moving. Some people would only do if they're moving. And the only way we know is from beforehand you said it was because you're moving, and afterwards you're still trying to move. So then we could deduce. But what's the difference? Either way, it's a good deduction that that's what he was thinking. So it's not just in his lave purely. It's the lave, but it's manifest. It's clear. That's what he was thinking. So what's the difference? Debtors?
Is that the...
Well, it says is that, yeah, if a guy sells his thing, maybe he needed money anyways. But yeah, but you could say that, but it's not true, because you see here he was going to Eretz Yisrael. So you just say, but at the Shazvina, if the action itself is an act, there are many reasons why a person would do that action. That's what he's saying. If that action itself, there are many reasons why someone would sell their field.
When did we bring in the
action itself? If you just have tunnel vision, you look at the action itself. So you don't know whether he's selling it for because he needs the cash or because he's moving to Eretz Yisrael. But if you broaden your horizon, you look around and you see what he did before and what he did afterwards, you'll see that he's not doing it because he has debtors, he's doing it because he went to Eretz Yisrael. But the Ron saying is, yeah, but we just go with Shasvini. And if it's manifest in the Shasvini that's why he's doing it, so then we say, then it's recognized. But if it's not, then it's just belief. Even though we could prove it from that which happens before or after. Again, and more generically, the question is, what's the whole question? I mean, this is like, a detail, but I think this will bring us into questioning, what's the whole conceptual chakira about whether Dvarim Shebelev are Dvarim or Dvarim Shebelev are not Dvarim? Yeah, that's, I think we have to get into that also. Right, so far, we've just been defining what Dvarim Shebelev are, and where we say it is Dvarim Shebelev, where it isn't. But what's the question about whether we recognize them or we don't recognize them? With remembering the fact that the Ron says that the only time you say Dvarim Shebelev is where it's he can prove it. Otherwise, if he can't prove it, then of course we're not going to just let any guy say this was in my head. But if it's provable, so in theory you could say, look, he proves it. Or no. So what's that question? Okay, so let's maybe we'll try to take this let's forget about our problem for a second, for a little bit. Okay, and let's deal with what's the issue of Dvarim Shebelev. Okay, what's the issue of Dvarim Shebelev or Dvarim? So, let's take a Kenyan. Okay, I think Dvarim Shebelev applies to more than just Kenyan. Like, it seems like it brings in by Nedarim, or, you know, it's not just Kenyan. But let's limit our scope to Kenyan for a little bit, okay? I think what we say by Kenyan will be able to apply it elsewhere. I think it's just good. Let's keep our focus. Okay, so the idea is like this, is that in a Kenyan, like, what's a Kenyan? What's a Kenyan all about? How do I do a Kenyan if I do a sale? So would you say, like, for instance, let's say I give you money, and I'm buying your house, or I'm buying your thing. So is it like the action? Like, do you just say, like, Kenyan is, you do this action of, I give you $50, and that's Kenyan. Or is it, what's... There's more to Kenyan than just the action of giving it over, right? It's a transaction. And what essentially, what's the transaction based upon?
It's an understanding between two parties.
Right, exactly. Essentially, a transaction is based upon a das. I mean, essentially, I mean, this action of giving you $50 could be any, it could be lots of different things. So, I mean, that's the action itself is as like a shell, is an active expression of something. But the reality, the underlying premise upon which Kenyan is based is a das, is a meeting of the minds that we want to sell such and such thing for such and such value. And now that das, that das finds expression, and we state it, and then we do a Maisa Kenyan as the culmination of that das. Okay, but again, in the underlying idea of Kenyan, it's like the heart of Kenyan, the essence of Kenyan is the das makna, the das kona, the mutual das of the parties. Now again, and the action is the icing on the cake, so to speak, which brings it out into expression in reality. Okay, so again, the underlying core, the background, the backdrop, the underlying essence of a Kenyan is das. Okay. Now, you have a little bit of a problem. A little bit of a problem is is that whereas since the unknown, the essence of Kenyan is Das, Halacha doesn't ordinarily work with Das. Das is like not a very good, not very, doesn't lend itself to a Halachic, to being incorporated into a Halachic system because of its, like, I guess it's not concrete, it's not knowable, it's not objectified, right. It's just in general, a legal system. You don't want legal systems to be based on what a guy's thinking. Because how do you know what a guy's thinking? I mean, in general, that's not... You just, like, you can't just think things. Okay, halacha or any legal system, has to when something is, you have something which is rooted in das, but it has to halachify it. It has to make it set it up insofar as halachic system is concerned. Okay, and that's so to speak the challenge in this sugya. That's what this sugya is dealing with. So he's dealing with how do you to halachify something whose essence is das, yet it's part of a legalistic system, in which das is a very difficult thing to recognize in a legal system because it's subjective and only known to the guy himself. Okay, that's what I'm thinking is like that in the background of this sugya. That's what the sugya is grappling with. Okay. Okay. So the question, what's the solution? That's like a problem. And you have to decide, you have to figure out how does the Torah deal with that. Okay, how do you go about doing that? So one way is to basically say, let's say there's two extremes, I think. One way is to say, is that forget about what's in this app. We can't simply, halacha can't go by das. Okay, das, although the core of Kenyan is based upon das, but das is in his head, and who knows what's in the guy's head. And basically, kinyan is defined by, I guess, dibor, you could say, or by expressions, not by what's in his head, but what he says. And when we make a purchase, it's nothing to do with what I'm thinking. Even though the underlying reality of the thing is rooted in das, but you could have argued that kinyan goes by what's expressed, and that's it. Okay, if I express, I'm selling this thing to you for whatever I express, that's the terms, that's the kinyan, and that defines, the kinyan is kavua based upon the dibor, the manifest expression of what's going on. Okay, the manifest expressions. because das can't be halacha, halach can't recognize das. So if you were to say that, okay, then that's the Ron's Hafmeya. Then none of these cases are going to work because when you give all your stuff to someone else thinking your son is dead, you didn't say anywhere, you never expressed, I'm only giving it under this condition. Also, you're thinking it and everyone thinks it. That's very nice. Very nice, everyone thinks it. But by the way, kinyan doesn't go by das. Kinyan goes by action, by expressions. Okay, because das is too amorphous to deal with in halacha. And again, according to this Havamina, the kinyan has to go by concrete expressions. Concrete expression means what you do and what you say, not what you think. Okay, if you look at it, that is one way which you could have imagined, and that's what the Ron shows can't be. Because you have many sugyas which show that you do recognize a guy's das, assuming it's objectified, clear, cut, everyone knows it, that kind of thing. Okay, so far so good?
Yep.
Any questions? Okay. Now another extreme could be is that halacha really goes by das. Okay? Because kinyan, after all, is a phenomenon of das. Okay? Kinyan is a phenomenon of das. And since kinyan is a phenomenon of das, you can't deny that. Kinyan goes by das. The kinyan is nikva, is determined based upon what I'm thinking and what you're thinking. Because that's the idea of a purchase, is I am agreeing, I have a das to sell my thing, you have a das to buy my thing. We do the action, it is the expression of our das, our mutual das, and then the thing is transferred. If I'm thinking, I'm giving it to you on the condition of going to Eretz Yisrael, and then we do this action, then this action is an expression of the das of me selling it to you because I'm going to Eretz Yisrael, and that's what I'm thinking. Now, there you do have, so to speak, a practical problem is how does the system know what you're thinking? So that's a practical question, is that if you could prove it, then you can prove it. And if you can't prove it, then you can't prove it. Simple as that. In other words, it's more just like a practical thing. Really, we're not going to water down the system. The system, the essence of Kenyan is Das. We're not going to water that down. So Kenyan goes by Das. Now, if a guy can't prove that that was his das, so then he's going to get himself into problems. So he's going to have to work out a good way to prove it. And if he could prove to us that that was his das, then that's fine. Perfect. Then prove it. And if not, not. So if you say that, then for instance, and that's Dvarim Shivalev Dvarim. Okay, that's if you were to say, we don't hold this way, but if you were to say Dvarim Shivalev are Dvarim, then that's what that would be. Which would mean, in the case of Eretz Yisrael, is the guy, if the guy, for instance, starts negotiating with the guy, says, hey, listen, I'm going to Eretz Yisrael, I want to sell you my house. Fine. Then they start negotiating. A week later, they agree on a price. Okay, and when they agree on the price, they don't say anything about Eretz Yisrael. And after they agree and they make the kinyan, then the guy is still looking for a house and for a trip, a ticket to Eretz Yisrael. He's trying to get it. The second the JetBlue cancels the flight, whatever it is, he says, "Hey, listen, I'm backing out. I don't want to do it because that was my whole das." So he could prove that was his das. He proves it from what was going on beforehand and what was going on afterwards. Then the whole situation is manifest and it's clear that that's what the guy was thinking. Now, did he say that at the moment of the sale? No, but who cares? That's sufficient proof that that's what he was thinking. And since the essence of kinyan is what he was thinking, so that was the agreement. That was the das that was implicit in the agreement. Who cares what he said or what he didn't say? That's the another essence of kinyan is what he says. Is what he's thinking, and what he's thinking is what he's thinking. That's now again, he has to be able to prove it. But he could prove it. Okay? So therefore, if you say Gidvarim Shabalei Bar Dvarim, then it's going to be a good kinyan. Okay? So far, so good?
Mm-hmm.
Questions?
Who's the last part?
Okay. So these are the easier sides, and these are the extremes, none of which we actually go by. But we hold Dvarim Shabalei Vein and Dvarim. Now, the question, what's that for? So perhaps the idea is like this, is that really, you have to say that we go by Das. That the essence of Kenyan is Das, and you have to go by Das. But, not all the way. Okay? Not all the way. What do I mean? Is that it's like, see, in Kenyan, you have a Maisa Kenyan. Okay? You have a Maisa Kenyan which takes place. Okay? So one guy is, giving. I guess part of the Maisa Kinyan, the extended Kinyan, is we state the terms, I'll give you $50 for your house. And as the words are part of the Maisa Kinyan, it's part of the whole Kinyan. So you have the Kinyan, and the Maisa Kinyan, though, is based upon Das. Okay? The Maisa Kinyan is based upon Das. Now, in other words, there is Das. Whereas we do recognize Das, but the Das has to be included in the Maisa Kenyan. In other words, it's like the first original way of looking at it was we just go by the Maisa Kenyan itself, that which is in the action itself. The other way is we go purely by Das. This is like a compromise, which is that we go by Das insofar as it is included in the action. As far as it's included in the action. We can't just go by go to a psychologist, figure out his das. But in other words, insofar as the das is a component of the action, so then the das, so to speak, finds itself halachically. Whereas das, which is purely in his head, we can't go, halacha doesn't recognize. But insofar as the das is a component of his action, then it registers halachically. Now, what do I mean by a component of his action? So we've seen there's two ways of it being a component of his action, which is implicitly or explicitly.
Right.
Which means either he says it, okay, so since he does the action and says, I'm doing it under so-and-so conditions, so then the das, what he's thinking, is included in the action. The action is an action which is an expression of his thoughts, which I say that it's an expression of. So it explicitly is an action of expressing my das. It's an action which is an expression of a certain thought. Or it could be that it's implicit that any person who does this action does it assuming a certain das. Okay, and it's giving away all your nechassim to a stranger or to a non-relative. Implicit in that action is the das that you don't have any living sons. Okay, that's implicit in the action. So it's included in the action, based upon objectively it's included in the action. The action of saying, I'm going to marry anyone who walks into the room, there's an implicit das in that action, which is that it means the next kosher guy who's going to walk into the room. So there's a das which is, it's implicit in the action if the action itself points you to this das, includes this das as a element of this action. There is the action objectively has a corresponding das. This action has got to have this das. It's part of the action. There's an assumed das in actions. So the assumed das in the action, I don't have to state it explicitly because it's already contained in the action. So it's the essence, the koveya of kinyan is maisa, but it's the das could be a component of the Maisa, and insofar as the Das is a component of the Maisa, the Halacha will recognize it. But if I'm planning on going to Eretz Yisrael, So it's true, in the action itself, he's just, what's he doing? He's just doing an action of saying, here, buy my house. Okay? So that action has nothing to do with, a lot of people will sell houses, whether you're going to Eretz Yisrael or not going to Eretz Yisrael. The action itself has nothing to do with going to Eretz Yisrael. Now you'll say, we know that the reason why he's doing it is only because his das was going to Eretz Yisrael. That's very nice, we know that, and that's his das. But halacha doesn't just go by das per se. But das is only recognized and only recognized by halacha insofar as the das is a component of a concrete nisa. So das could find its place into the halachic sphere through being like piggybacking onto being a component of a halachic activity. But again, but if it's purely in his head, but the action itself neither explicitly nor implicitly has the das, and it's just that we know it from other circumstantial evidence, so then that's not recognized. Then it's purely, it doesn't reach the halachic floor. Yeah, but it could reach it through being a component of the maisa. So it turns out you have three options. You could either say halacha goes 100% by das, then as long as you can prove it, that's what it goes by, kinyan goes by das. The other extreme you could have said is that no, we don't go by das at all. We purely go by the manifest action. Nothing das, we forget what you're thinking. We go by what the action, is explicit action, which includes the physical action and what you say. Or, kamashmal, no, the middle is that we do recognize das, but only insofar as it's manifest, or as it's a component of a halachic action. And that allows for some das, namely das which is shazvini itself, but doesn't allow for das which has to be deduced based upon other circumstantial evidence. Dibor is both realms, because dibor on the one hand that you could say is just part of the action itself, that's an action, you know. So therefore you could say, even if you don't recognize das, you recognize dibor, because that's an explicit, concrete thing. But on the other hand, dibor, you could say that dibor, the reason why dibor works is not because it's part of the action, but because that is a concrete manifestation of the das in the action. Yeah. But then, if that's the idea, then it doesn't necessarily have to be through that concrete expression, it could even be implicit, because the idea is the das. But again, in the other extreme, I mean that is rejected, it would be, no, it's dibor not because that reflects your das, but dibor because that's part of the action itself. You know, then it has to be something which is explicit. It can't go by implicit means we're deducing as das. Explicit means it's in the action itself. It's concrete. The issue with the das is the idea that how does das become register on a legal system, on a legalistic system? It's just what's in his head. So when the das is, so action is a halachic thing. And das, actions have das which is included in them. Certain actions have das, there's an included das. So the das could make it into the halachic scene through the avenue, the vehicle of action, of maisa. But if it's not through the action, then it's just saying, he's doing this action, and this action is a normal maisa kinyan, $50, whatever he says, and then you say, oh, but I was thinking something. It's probably what you're thinking, but that's just what you're thinking. How does that make it onto the halachic scene? So the way it makes it onto the halachic scene is through being a component of the action. Otherwise, it just can't register, and it's just in his life. You know what I mean? Right. Yeah, that's why he says it has to be muchach mitocho and mishas vini, because otherwise das, it's not that we reject das, it's just that the das has to be a component of the action in order for it to register halachically. So let's go further now. Let's take up the Reina Tam. Okay? I don't know if you guys prepared this or not, but let's do it. Okay? It's a good process, very related, okay? So it says Vikshar Reina Tam. Zal. Okay, so this is again, they're continuing the round on the Chaf from the Beis. It's kind of dead center of the piece, Amar Rava. Maskinon is the first word in the line. Vikshar Reina Tam Zal. Okay, and this is basically the case of a slip. Okay, if a guy makes a slip. Okay, so it says miditnan beperek gimel de trumos. Truma. So let's say you intend to say this is meiser, and you slip, and you say this is truma. Oh, I'm sorry. By the way, hold on 1 second. I digress 1 second. Back to before. So again, I said this is a din in Kenyan. okay, in Kenyan. Does Kenyan go by Das? You know, but it's not really a din of Kenyan. It's not a question about Kenyan per se. It's a question of when you have a halachic area whose essence is Das, conceptually whose essence should be Das, yet, and it has to find expression halachically, how does halacha, you know, bring into play, or how does halacha recognize the institution of Das? So it could be by a Kenyan, it could be by a Neder. Similarly, a Neder is also similar. I mean, we'll see, we'll get to it more in detail, but it could be by a Neder, because a Neder is also is like rooted in your internal commitment, but then you have to say it and express your Das through your statement. So in a similar, you could have the same question by that institution as well. Whereas just whenever you have an institution whose core is your Das, yet, and it finds expression through an action or through a Dibor. You know what I mean? So it's, again, it's not unique. It's not talking about does Kenyan work through whatever, through the Advan. It's a question and it makes sense with the way we're talking about it. It's a question of how halacha, it's a very universal question. How halacha, like, systematizes the institution, an institution whose core is Das. Okay? We good? Okay. So, fine. So the cases are in Tasa. So it says, if you try to say the Maitmeiser and you end up saying Chuma, or vice versa, or Shlamim, you say, this animal's a Shlamim. You want to say this animal's a Shlamim. Amar Ola. By accident, you slip. You say Ola. Ola Amar Shlamim. Lo Amar Klum. Doesn't count. He's like a Nether, I guess. Right? So he didn't say anything. Ach you Piv Velibo Shavin. Right? Until you're Piv Velibo Shavin. Okay, this is important to you. Nadarim, this comes up a lot. Piv Velibo Shavin. Which means that you are mouth and your ma, your heart, are equal. You said that which you were thinking. Okay, you said that which you were going to slip. That's a slip. A slip is where you said something, but you weren't thinking that. You were thinking one thing, you said another thing. So that doesn't count. So, alma, dvarim shebelev habu dvarim. Right? So isn't this is akasha. This is akasha, because
on the Ran?
On the Ran. Or on dvarim shebelev and on dvarim. Because this is the one you just say, that's dvarim shebelev. The action that I did was an action of saying this is a shlamim. Okay, that's the action. Now you'll tell me, and there's nothing manifest in the action that I wanted it to be an ola. I just said this is a shlamim, right? There's nothing. Is it clear that no one makes shlamims? I said, how is this shlamim? This is a shlamim. So what? Because I was thinking ola. Right? I see what thinking, but halacha doesn't go by your das, right? So the whole idea of pivoli boshavin is saying is that. That you do recognize his lave. You do recognize his lave.
Shabalev ain't on Dvarim.
What? Right. We say Dvarim Shabalev ain't on Dvarim, which means we don't recognize his lave. No, yeah, it's a contradiction to the principle of Dvarim Shabalev ain't on Dvarim.
Yeah, but the Ran's point wasn't about Dvarim. He was just asking, why are these other cases not included in
whatever. It's a question, I don't know if it's a question on the Ran per se. I mean, maybe if you had a different understanding of Dvarim Shabalev and Dvarim, then maybe it wouldn't be a question. But I don't know. I don't think it's a question specifically on the Ran, but in the Ran is presenting, this is not only a question, the Ravina Tom is asking a question. On the one hand, it's contradiction in principles. The Gemara concludes Marshal Yen and Dvarim. Yet, by these cases in Dvarim, it's clear, Pivoli Boshavin. Right? Pivoli Boshavin is that the net there isn't good.
So it's not going wrong.
But, I mean, the Ran himself is talking, and he's presenting, and Ravina Tom asks. I don't know. I mean, perhaps if you learned, I don't think it has to be on the Ran, but perhaps if you had a different way of learning, maybe you end up getting out of it. But, I mean, I think it's just a general question.
Okay.
Does it have to be on the Ran?
I would normally read the Hiksha in the middle of a paragraph like this as, I'm saying this, but this is, the Rabbeinu Tam argues with this. Like,
well, he doesn't argue. He asks and answers.
Okay, cool.
Okay. So, no, he says, Alma Dvarim Shalev Havu Dvarim. He's not asking on that. He's just saying, as you see from that, in other words, you have contradictory Gemaras. I mean, you have a Gemara. Okay. This Gemara says, Dvarim Shalev is not Dvarim. Learn that from Mishnayos. Clear cut. Right? So the Ran's kashas, well, maybe it's like this. The Ran had kashas on Dvarim Shebelev and Dvarim from his cases. But the Ran answered his cases and says, no, that's not a matter of Pivoli Shebelev because those are different. The Ran, the Rabbeinu Tam, however, has another kasha which you can't answer in the way you answered the Ran's kashas. You know what I mean? It's a series of kashas on the principle of Dvarim Shebelev and Dvarim. I'll show you lots of things that seem to indicate Dvarim Shebelev or Dvarim. The Ran had a bunch which were all rejected because, no, those are umdanas, those are clear, everyone did. But then Rabbeinu Tam, in the Ran's kasha, well, that's a real kasha. Because there you can't say it's clear cut that when he says shlomim, he meant olah, that's just purely based upon his head. I mean, according to the way we're defining it, it's for sure. I mean, That's just what he's thinking. It's his personal subjective das. How do we know? That's what he's thinking. He says, it's a tough lot. You said shalom, shalom, shalom. Right?
Yep.
It's a powerful kasha. I mean, it's very basic. It's just the contradiction principle. Don't shalom in advarim and pivoli v'shavim. If you've learned in dharam, I mean, that's like the one principle comes up all the time. Pivoli v'shavim. Your mouth and your heart have to be equal. Okay, and again, it sounds to be in direct contradiction to another principle of Don Shalevin and Dvarim, two universal principles, which are an absolute contradiction. Okay? Good gosh, right?
Yep.
He answers it, though. Vitirets. Techiyam in and Dvarim Shalevin and Dvarim. Hani mi lehechashu miskavin lomar mashu omer. Ela shiish beliba hepach mashu moti bisvasa. When do we say Dvarim in Don Shalevin and Dvarim? When you meant to say what you said. You said what you meant to say. You said, the guy said, I'll sell you my house. You meant to say, I'll sell you my house. You didn't mean to say, I'll sell you my house because I'm going to Israel. You said what you meant to say. There's no slip. You said what you wanted to say. Right? It's just that in your mind, you were thinking something else which you didn't say. Okay, you didn't say.
What's the
Chol Kai Gavna?
What's the Hefech?
Opposite. No, it's the opposite. No, it's like, for instance, let's say you say, it's different. I mean, it's the opposite of what, as you were saying, in the context of Hefech, so far as whether the Kenyan would go through or wouldn't go through under these conditions, it's the opposite.
Not that what, because the way the word literally means, Elish Yesh Beliba Hefech, but you had in your lay the opposite of what you said.
Right. I don't think he means it was the exact opposite. He means the opposite effect. Because in the case of, let's say, in the Eretz Yisrael, you said, I'm going to sell it to you, no strings attached. Then you had the opposite in mind. You really had in your mind, I'm going to sell it to you because I'm going to Eretz Yisrael. So it's the opposite. In that regard, it's the opposite. But it doesn't mean hot and cold opposite. Just you had in mind, different.
Just an odd lashon to use, but I hear. I understand what
you're saying. B'chol kai gavna, kivud, and anything like that, kivud she'eno muta b'mashu motzi mipiv, since he's not making a slip, he's not making a mistake in that which he says, Ain mashu b'libo klum. We don't care what he's thinking. What he's thinking is irrelevant. Aval kol shu tov diburo ki haslam. But when you have a slip, right, a slip of the tongue, like this, lav klumu, then it's nothing. Duba inun shu piv libo shavim. Because you need your heart and your mouth to be equal. Lahotzi mashu motzi b'svasov. Right, to say that which you actually said. You have to have in mind to say that which you actually said. Okay, Mishum Achi, Amrin, and Perkshul Sain Basra, Neskaven, Hotzi Paschit, and Hotzi Pasorin, Lo Amar Klum, Achi Pivoli Vashavin. So if you make a neder that I'm not going to eat Paschit, and you meant to say Pasorin, the barley bread, then it's nothing. Okay? Lefisha Tawad Bidiburo, Kedamra, because he made a slap. Okay, so he's differentiating between a slip of the tongue. A slip of the tongue, we say basically that doesn't count. Slip of the tongue doesn't. So you meant to say Ola. You said Ola and you meant to say Shlomim. That's a slip. Slips don't count. But if you said what you meant to say, it's just that you were thinking some other condition that you didn't state, but you meant. So then then we say Dvar Shalei Ben Advar.
Why? What's the prevent? I slipped. I didn't mean to say that.
So I guess a good question. So how are you going to know? What's to prevent the person from just claiming this? So I guess that's going to come down to the other issue we mentioned yesterday. Is that, of course, you can't just claim a slip in a sale because the guy's going to say, I don't believe you.
But you're the same
neder.
Guy.
Yeah, you're a neder, and you want to know whether you're also or not. You have to be mata neder.
Okay.
So saying is, you don't have to be mata neder because it is a slip. But again, if you set it in a price, oh yeah, I'll sell you my thing for 100, and you say, oh, I said 100, I meant 1,000. I mean, that's not going to work. Obviously, you're going to have to prove that to the guy. You can't just say that. Unless you'd be able to prove it somehow, but you know.
Okay.
But what's the question here? What's the question?
What's this?
Right. Okay.
I should believe
what he does. Right, exactly. That's what I was saying. This doesn't make sense. I mean, what's the difference? I mean, it's true there is a difference. You could say the difference. You could enunciate what he's saying. He's drawing a difference. They are different. One's a slip of the tongue, and the other one, you're just not saying something. But what's the difference? If you say Dvarim Shebelev Einan Dvarim, which means we don't recognize what's in his lave, because it's his lave after all. So then, Dvarim Shebelev Einan Dvarim. Who cares whether it's a slip or whether it's not a slip? Bottom line is Dvarim Shebelev Einan Dvarim. We don't recognize what's in a guy's head. What's in a guy's head is not halacha. So what's the difference? It just sounds like he's like making a chilach. But the chiluk, there's no teeth to it. Like, what's it based upon?